And as far as the idea of beauty, I agree that there are a lot of people who really are attracted to people not on the basis of fat. I mean, I've had the experience of a whole bunch of people who were attracted to me and who didn't see me as fat, or didn't see a whole bunch of people who never considered that in their choices of sexual partners or love partners or anything like that. But I thought of it, see. And when I wanted somebody, I didn't want a fat person, right? And so I couldn't conceive of how they could really be real, because my standards had been so molded by the society that unless, you know, at the point when it was a he, you know, unless, or when it was a she, you know, unless he was 6'3" and blonde, you know, and thin, there was just no point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you leaving us now?
Kind of mind well, the door.
Feel free to come back in if there's something else we can't help but continue. Yeah.
Or you always think, what's wrong with them that they're with me?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very interesting what she said.
That's the story of my adolescence. What's wrong with them that they're with me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Marla made it very clear for me in why I can't accept what I said before, and accepting that from a lover saying to me, you know, that's all right, or you're not fat, or something like that, is because my standards are so rigid. Mm-hmm. It's because I have bought the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I called in a previous program the American nightmare.
It is exactly a nightmare, and I really bought it, and I just cannot relate sexually to somebody who's obese. And that's...
I just want to put in my two cents here, which, and I hope it's not off the topic, but it's that I don't have a particular problem with weight, but I did have a problem with self-image, which Carol mentioned earlier about the CR group that she was in. And for most of my life, have seen myself as extremely unattractive in every way. Now, in the last couple of years, this has changed for me. I'm the same person, and I have the same features, the same hair, etc., etc. But I had the most incredible experience the other day of getting back a packet of photographs. And I thought that I looked pretty on every one. And I think that it's not, with me, it's not the issue
wonderful.
Of fat. I know, it was, I was really stunned by it. But it wasn't, for me, it wasn't the issue of fat. But what we're really talking about, though this is a program about fat, is self-image. And it doesn't really matter what anybody says to you about what you look like. It's what really matters is what you feel about yourself.
Yeah, I would say it's not just that you buy the American dream or nightmare. It's that you swallow it. You're force-fed it at every turn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
I had the same experience Irene had in a different way, only the pictures were over 20 years old.
Oh.
And I sat down and I cried because I'd been so pretty and I never knew.
Mm-hmm. That's really... So what we're really talking about is the same thing. We talk about... I mean... Every other program that I do here comes down to the same thing, which is imposed values, things being imposed on us that make us feel certain ways about ourselves and don't allow us to have freedom to feel about ourselves the way we might if we weren't being polluted by all of these societal attitudes, societal values and standards.
One thing I'd like to point out, and how this relates to women more than men, is an oppression of fat, because women in our society... you know, play a role traditionally where they must be selected by a partner, and therefore you, in order to be selected, you have to be choice and compete. And I think that this makes it harder to get out of that kind of a role of being selected because you are better than, you know, thinner, prettier, whatever have you. And I think that's why women feel more oppressed about their fat, rather than
very
being
possibly.
Aggressively.
I think that two things may change that for some women. One is just the women's movement in general is, I think, making women be less automatically in the passive role. And obviously, in the world of lesbians, one doesn't have to wait. I mean, you know, you go up to someone and ask them out or say, hi, you know, hello. You know, and you don't have to wait to be asked. That isn't true for women who are heterosexual, but I think even heterosexual women don't have to sit around waiting anymore and can't approach people.
Oh, they do.
I really would like to speak to something on imposed values. I work with kids, and I'm a children's librarian, and I'm interested in the kinds of books that are coming out. And there are many books that are about fat girls, and what happens to them is at the end of the book, they see the light, and they lose weight, and they get a boyfriend, and that is it still to this day. And any books, I think there's one book that I've come across about a fat boy, and that's not why he loses the weight, or what happens to him when he loses the weight, he gets a girlfriend. even the book's being written today, and it's really upsetting. I mean, I try and select books without being a total censor. Also, as a feminist, looking at books, which is a whole other issue, but books for the younger girls, for teenagers, for everything. They lose weight. In fact, there was a psychology book, sort of, well, for the layman, psychology for teenagers. Mm-hmm. And there was one chapter on an overweight girl, always an overweight girl, because it's a problem for a girl more than a boy. And the reason was because she was unhappy, and that's why she was eating. And so when somebody told her, "You're unhappy, that's why you're eating," her problem was solved, and she stopped eating and became thin. And it's very, very upsetting. Mm-hmm. This is part of, this isn't even ads. This is something a lot more direct we could have control over.
Yeah,
more.
It's throughout the culture.
I think it's necessary to remember, too, though, that men really do feel equally pained about their appearance. I seem to have found that out. I don't think it's as crucial an issue as far as their functioning in society, but on a personal level, I really think that they feel it almost the same way from what I've seen. And I think it's interesting because we don't expect it from them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm always surprised. I'm so surprised because mm-hmm. I personally don't even criticize them as far as their looks go. I don't, and I'm always very shocked, and the pain is just as real.
I think, though, when an adult woman, for example, is seeking a relationship with a man, she's more likely to think about other things about him, at least traditionally, at least in magazines and televisions and everything else. You think about, like, what does he do, you know, and is he intelligent, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas with a woman, it's just across the board, it's what does she look like. It's mm-hmm. sexual object from the word go.
Mm-hmm.
And although I appreciate what you're saying, and I know that it's true.
Yeah, because
to a degree, I still think it's a stronger kind of a thing for women.
I do. I said that. I definitely said that. But I think I just mentioned it because I think that we don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always so surprised.
Right.
Well,
right.
Sure. If men would be able to be more open and mm-hmm. show their feelings about their looks or whatever, sure, that would be better for them. Too.
But men do worry a lot about their looks.
But it's not totally incapacitating to them, or they don't waste as much time going to the beauty parlor and worrying about clothes and diets and stuff the same way women do.
But I wonder if they wouldn't, if they could.
Want to get to that place.
I agree with everything you said, except that I've seen the same reactions from men. Literally the same.
Well, that's,
you know,
then they're human.
What
I would like to do now is pretty soon I want to be able to have time to take a few phone calls because I think it would be very frustrating for women listening enough to be able to call. So let me just give the number, and then I want to ask Carol to tell one story of an incredibly extreme example of the lengths that a woman will go to not be fat. We'll be taking calls in a few minutes, calls from women only on the show, and the number is 371-5200. Don't forget when you telephone to turn down your radio, otherwise we have a total mishmash. Just tell us that story, Carol, about that woman.
Okay, I have to say something before that.
All right.
Judith said something so good before the show started, and I just want to say this, that there are a whole group of suppositions that people make about people because they're overweight, and some of them are really insulting, and I guess we don't have time right now to talk about them, but I'm sure that everybody listening as well as all of us know what they are, and maybe some of the questions will relate to them or whatever. Anyway, the story stands as a kind of metaphor for the kind of psychological mutilation I think that occurs for fat people. A friend of mine was given a scholarship by her therapy group to go to what they call a fat farm in, I think, Argentina. And she went there for many months, and she fasted for many months, and she lost over 100 pounds, which she wished to do because she had been going with a man for 14 years who would not marry her because he could not bring her home to his parents because his parents wouldn't accept her because she was so fat. So she went there, she fasted, she lost the weight, and then they did a series of experimental operations, plastic surgery. They trimmed fat from her arms. You can read Vogue or Harper's Bazaar, and they describe some of these operations. Sometimes breast reductions is, I think, Roe mentioned.
Yeah, we didn't have time. We didn't get anything on really, the show at all.
Anyway, those are very popular, evidently. Now, mm-hmm. Anyway, she had her arms trimmed, her thighs trimmed,
pieces cut out of her
belly trimmed, her buttocks trimmed, et cetera, et cetera. And
what did you say about what the result was?
The reason, well, she was disproportionate.
It didn't work.
Plus the fact is that her head didn't change. She still ate, and she literally, in a funny way, it's not funny at all, it's very grotesque, was coming apart at the seams.
I mean,
this kind of thing can kill you.
No, did he marry her?
I think that she lost interest in him somewhere along the way, but I don't know, because I never knew her personally. I only knew people who knew her, but I was so horrified, and I do think the metaphor is very striking.
Absolutely.
Here.
Let's put on our earphones now and start taking calls, because there are 4 calls coming in, which is all that the telephone will hold, which makes me think there might be even more. Okay, we're going to begin taking calls. Everybody has headphones? Okay, and we'll now take the first call.
Hi.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, listen, in doing thinking about it, you know, I understand that it involves how another person looks at me, but it also involves American consumerism, and that there's two points basically I want to talk about. One is addiction and one is consumerism.
Okay.
And the one on addiction is that when people have smoke cigarettes, they're still extremely socially attractive to other people. It never seems to be an issue, you know, in terms of not getting a lover or not being accepted. On the contrary, it's very accepted.
Right.
And I think alcohol less so, but I think that the way I have begun to feel about overweight is that it's a sugar addiction, and that I have to deal with and that I want to deal with. And the other part of consumerism is that I feel that when I overeat, it's a manifestation of American consumerism, and how we're just trained to take in, whether it be clothing or whether it be objects or just to buy and consume and put it into your body.
Right. Carol is busting to answer you here, so she's going to say something.
Well, there's another aspect to the consumerism, and that is that the fear and guilt that we have about taking food in and about being overweight as a result is absolutely being marketed, and we're being consumerized on that score too. And you can just look at how organizations like Weight Watchers have just, they hit the stock market and their stock just soared right away. And there are millions of them actually. Diet foods, I mean, this is big business.
Right.
You know, so there, and
almost
and
as
people,
big as dark food.
Pardon?
Almost as big as dog food.
Right.
You know, so consumerism really preys on that, too.
I just thought of another thing, too, that fat does, is it keeps, it's just one more way that we are kept in the head of thinking of ourselves as inferior people. And that's like, you know, one more thing that we have to try to fight. I think we should go on to the next phone call, because there are so many. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Vicky.
Hi.
I am underweight from my age of 14.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also a bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I think about it, I lose my appetite and everything, because I'm afraid my friends are going to know. Because right now I think that it's like a hard time in my life.
Uh-huh.
You know, for me to express myself.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of peer pressure and everything.
Right. So you feel you're underweight because of the things you're going through?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think that could have anything to do with it?
Anybody have anything to say? I mean, I think it certainly could.
For those of us who are overweight, certainly stress and anxiety produces that result. It can go either way. It depends on your particular thing.
Right. It can either make you eat a whole lot to make yourself feel better or just not want to even look at food. Either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello.
I'm sorry, we don't take calls from men on this show. We're going to go on to the next call. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi. I want to talk about fat.
And
how I got cured of this regret about being fat when I was 29 years old.
Far out.
Love with a fat woman.
You were in love with a fat woman.
Uh-huh.
That's
and
really...
She didn't think she was beautiful, but I knew she was beautiful. And she was 41 years old. It also got me over ageism.
Oh, wow.
It was wonderful. It didn't go well. The relationship was not successful in any way, except that it changed my head totally. And ever since then, I think that anybody that doesn't think I'm beautiful is stupid. You know?
That's great. That's really great.
I wrote a book, and the publicity person at the publisher didn't want to put me on television because I was fat.
Uh-huh.
It did not once cross my mind, I swear it, that I wasn't beautiful or that I wouldn't have been great on television.
Really? So you have somewhat of a different experience from...
What an incredibly stupid publicity person.
I'm really glad to hear from one other person who feels good about being fat.
Yeah. Okay, I just thought I'd tell you.
Well, from your
voice... I love your show.
Thank you so much, and from your voice you sound beautiful. Bye-bye. B.A.I., you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I sometimes feel oppressed from the other side.
Uh-huh.
Because I've noticed, and it's taken me a lot of years, I went through like an adolescence where I put on a lot of weight, went through an emotional number, and I've been trying to take it off. And I've come to the point where I've know that I feel better when I control my weight a little bit. And I feel better physically.
Mm-hmm.
But what I get, and a lot of movement women do it, and I think what I've been hearing from the program is, well, if you tend to be fat, you should be happy with yourself, and if you're not, then you're not really well-adjusted, because fat people are happy people, too. And, you know, I agree. I know that maybe there are some people who are overweight, but there are also some people who are in between.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it really hard. Sometimes when I'm feeling good about myself and I walk down the street and some woman will say, you know, somebody I know will say, oh, you've lost so much weight, you look terrible. And what I really want to hear and what sometimes I think she even might want to say is, you know, you don't look bad, you lost that weight that was hanging on to you, but, you know, like it's always this negative type of thing, and I never get any kind of... I feel like if I'm going to keep the weight off, I have to stay at home and just see myself and not get any kind of reflection from anybody else until I'm sure of myself and I can go out there and stay that same weight.
I didn't think that the people on the program were saying that what you thought, but I might be wrong. But is that everyone's feeling, that if you are fat, you should get used to it and it's okay and adjust to it and that's beautiful too? Or were there some people who felt that that wasn't so?
I think you should try to love yourself fat or thin. I don't think you should have to stay fat to continue to love yourself. I would be very happy to be thin enough to climb in and out of sailboats easily. That's one of my big problems.
Uh-huh. Anybody else? Okay, thanks very much for calling. Bye-bye. B.A.I., you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me just tell you that I am 58 years old.
Uh-huh.
I'm 30 pounds overweight.
Uh-huh.
And until I was about 45, I was underweight.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Now, this has been my experience. I think the medical profession is mainly responsible for the fascistic attitude towards people who are overweight.
Uh-huh.
A young doctor in a clinic tried to force me to take off weight, saying that I had to do it in order to reduce my high blood pressure, which was then 180/20.
Uh-huh.
And he also tried to make me take some medications, which made me very ill.
Uh-huh.
And since I was not a cooperative patient, he tried to send me for psychiatric treatment, which I refused to undergo.
Uh-huh.
And that was a year ago. And now my blood pressure is 120/70 without drugs. I have not lost a pound.
Mm-hmm.
I accomplished this solely by eliminating about 2/3 of the salt I used to eat.
So it didn't have to do with the overweight, you're saying?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
There's no connection whatsoever.
Very interesting.
And for a woman who is 58 years old to have a blood pressure 120/70 is ideal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We have a medical person here who's nodding her head and saying, wow, that's great. Okay.
So I think that a lot of the pressure that is brought about, brought to bear upon overweight people is the responsibility of the medical profession, which overemphasizes the dangers of overweight.
Yeah.
And I read about a woman in the Soviet Union who lived to be about 135 years old. She was from the Republic of Abkhazia, and she had been overweight all her life, and in fact, when she was interviewed at the age of about 127, she was well over 200 pounds.
That's really interesting.
That was in the National Geographic magazine.
Okay, well, that's all very interesting. Thank you very, very much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Roe would like to comment on that.
About doctors, when I was about 18, I went to the doctor's office, and I was overweight, but not horribly, and the doctor said, "What's wrong with you? What are you trying to do to your life?" And he really embarrassed me and put me down in the office. And in fact, I never wanted to go back to the doctors, even when I was sick. And once I had a very bad earache, and I got a punctured eardrum because I would not go back to this doctor mm-hmm. because of what he did to me.
Wow.
In the office.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Doctors and being overweight and being afraid to go to them. And I guess we can't really talk about it now, but it's certainly interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I wanted to respond just one thing before we go on to the next call, though, and that's that I think that's a very good point to make, that doctors in the medical profession are responsible to a large degree for this whole oppression and rigid standardization. I also think that it's fashion and it's sex objectification of women, and that shouldn't be underplayed, though we should be aware of this other aspect,
they're
too.
They're all interrelated.
They're very much interrelated, right.
And that doesn't mean we don't want to lose some weight or feel better physically either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Okay, we're going to go on to the next call. Hello, BAI, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, hi.
Hi.
I was thinking of joining a health spa back in June.
Uh-huh.
Not basically because I was overweight, but more just to get more physically fit. And I was checking out different health spas in the area, and I just saw, like, an amazing difference between the attitude in the co-ed health spas and the all-women health spas.
Uh-huh.
In that, when I spoke to, like, the managers of the co-ed places, the whole ideal of, you know, being thin and losing weight was to impress someone of the opposite sex.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, in the all-women's spas, that wasn't the idea, and it was just, you know, to make yourself feel better.
Physical fitness and just being able to be active.
Right.
Right. That's a big,
yeah,
big
really
difference.
Important distinction.
Yeah, there's something that relates to that, which is that Debbie was talking before the show about being a counselor twice in camps for overweight mm-hmm. Teenagers, was it?
Right, and at the all-female camp, it was similar. The relationship was similar, and there was a great deal of warmth and understanding. And interestingly, one really forgot the people there were fat. It didn't become an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for me, that's very unusual because I always notice it everywhere. But you realize that if you go to a place where everybody is fat, it's not an issue anymore. Whereas at the co-ed place,
mm-hmm.
the reason that the people were there was to get boyfriends. And to become a sexual person.
Hmm.
The whole mentality of it. I also want to talk about the problem with anorexia nervosa.
Okay.
You were talking about before.
If you could just keep it kind of short, because there are about three other calls coming in.
Okay. Just that I wanted to say that basically people are impressed with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the whole syndrome, and they really are, you know, they do like the way that they look. And
you mean people who are really thin?
That's purely psychologically, and it goes to physically, and it's back to psychological.
I see.
You just have to go on.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much for calling. We have a whole lot more calls and only about five more minutes, but we'll just keep going. BAI, you're on the air.
Just a moment, I want to turn down my radio.
Okay. Oops.
No.
We have the same problem every week, which is
that... Oh, you crashed.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
I just want to throw out something to respond for all of you to think about. About 3 years ago, I weighed 250 pounds, and I lost 100 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And I hit 150 pounds and got I was still probably 20 pounds overweight
uh-huh.
and had another 20 pounds to go. And what became absolutely panic-stricken...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At what was happening about being thin
mm-hmm.
or different than I'd been in a real long time
uh-huh.
and I gained about 30 pounds and I've played around with that 30 pounds for 2 years now
uh-huh.
and every time and I've gone down around 150 again and every time I get down there that's some kind of signal and I just get nervous and I go right up around
160, 170.
Have you been able to understand or get underneath the feelings to know why you get so frightened and what it is you're frightened of, et cetera?
Well, I think so, but, about being present, and I think I like the extra size. I think it's a fairly typical fat head.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't remove the fact that it happens.
Right.
With astonishing regularity, and I think there are too many people interested in helping people lose pounds, and nobody's saying, you're going to feel a lot different when you lose those pounds.
Uh-huh, so that's a very important point to make.
I had a very similar experience. Is she still on?
No, go ahead, it's okay.
I had a very similar experience, and all I can say to you is, I think that it's terrific that you didn't gain it all back, that you're still at least groping with it, because I know that when I gained a great deal of weight back, I had become almost thin. I was petrified when I was starting to look nice and wear different kinds of clothing. All of a sudden, a completely new experience kind of waves over you, and I really felt myself as basically a sexual person. I think that that's definitely it. I felt it was all around me. Every time I walked down the street, I was conscious of it. And I think that's scary for lots of reasons. In this culture, it's a scary thing.
Right. Okay, I think we should go on to the next call. It might have to be the last one. BAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This relates to what the woman just before was saying. I'm 26 now, and I was thin all my life. In fact, most of my life I was too thin. Until about 4 years ago, when a man broke into the house and I was assaulted, and I gained weight that year, and I've gained weight every year since till now. I'm about 40 pounds overweight.
Uh-huh.
And I feel myself sort of in this double bind, because I got fat sort of as protection, I think.
Right.
But I hate being fat, but I'm afraid to get thin, because I'm afraid of dealing with, you know, the sexuality that is going to be directed my way if I become thin again.
I understand.
And I know another woman to whom the same thing happened. She gained even more weight. I think she gained about 150 pounds after being raped.
That's really incredible.
And I think this is probably a fairly common thing, because I've heard about other people for whom this was true.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, I wish you luck.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very, very much for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's almost 11 o'clock. I never run over. I'm tempted to take one more phone call. Can I take one more phone call? Okay, I can't. Okay, we're going to have to end. Oh, dear. Marco, you almost broke my eardrums. Okay, let me say a few very quick announcements, and then we're going to have to go off the air. Someone last week asked for the address of Wages for Housework, which is a really important group doing a lot of fantastic things for women. It's 288B 8th Street, Brooklyn. And the phone number is 965-4112. And they're Wednesdays and Saturdays from 11 to 4. Otherwise, write to them. I'm trying to form a mixed consciousness-raising group, which will be composed of women who are of lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual, and celibate, so women can get together and talk to each other about these kinds of things. If you're interested, please send me your name and address. On November 21st, there will be 16 hours of women's programming on WBAI as a part of the mini-thon. I want you to all take that date and write it down on your calendar and plan to stay home all day, every minute, listening and helping us raise funds for WBAI. Once again, the program on Project Chance, an innovative community-based education program for adult women, will be heard next week, so please tune in. Thanks once again to my guests, who were Ro Rasmussen, Roz Pulitzer, Judy Grad, Carol Rosenthal, and Deborah Plumer. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll close with our theme song, which is Holly Near singing Sister, Woman, Sister.
Sister, woman, sister, can you still feel any pain? Or have they robbed you of your anger while putting Thorazina in your vein? Sister, woman, sister, have the walls grown up so high that you can't even dream of leaving and you've forgotten how to fly. Oh, sister, woman, sister, did they take away your child and they locked her up in some juvenile hall to grow up weary and wild? Oh, sister, woman, sister, they won't let me come and see you no more, but I still got the poem that you wrote me. It's hanging on my apartment door. It reads a knock, but the door won't open. I seek, but I can't find you. I ask, but you can't hear me when I'm screaming. Sister, woman, sister, you cannot hear me when I'm screaming. Sister, woman, sister, you cannot hear me when I'm screaming. Oh, sister, woman, sister, your anger while putting Thorazine in your veins. Oh, sister, woman, sister. Oh, sister, woman, sister. Oh, sister, woman, sister. Oh,
says to the women who called up and said they had had a problem, they had gained weight after being attacked, that the best solution for that is karate.